May the peace and love of God be upon all of you. Let us recite TRA 1, 2, 3. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, as the scripture reference. The teachings will be headed by the topic faith devoid of deeds. Faith devoid of deeds. Under that title, we will share the word. What happens if someone asserts the true faith but is devoid of deeds? Can that faith redeem us? Does it have any efficacy in saving our souls? It teaches us today that it is written that God brought us forth by the word of truth, and that the word holds life, and that wherever it is sown, life-giving transformation is realized, and it transpires. In verse 19, we must forthwith listen. We must not reject the word, but proactively be heedful and receive the word to the fullest. In verse 21, it tells us, ahead of the word, we must put away all filth and wickedness within us. Like a newborn craving milk and yearning for milk, we must receive the word in that manner. And verse 22, chapter 1, it tells us, the Apostle James firmly implores us, saying that, be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. Do not be delusional. That's what it means. When you only listen to the word and have an intellectual understanding, but it's not acting upon the word, you are deceiving yourself. You say to yourself and assert that you believe in Jesus, but not corresponding with action means that you are self-delusional. It is a counterfeit belief. You are self-delusional. That's what the book of James teaches us, and it admonishes us. And in today's main teaching, it tells us, it triangulates on that portion of the teaching. Belief without action has no utility. It cannot redeem us in any way. It is recorded. Verse 14, it tells us, what does it profit, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? We believe the scriptures to be true, the absolute truth. Through the word, the world was created, and through this word, nations and our individual lives are governed. We believe that the word fulfills and all promises, and we trust that it will continue to fulfill them in the future. We believe in this. Faith is essential, life-saving essential for us. You must have faith, and without faith, in the book of Hebrews tells us that you cannot please God. You must come forth to God, and when you do, must have faith instilled in you. The entire Bible is filled with examples of individuals who exhibited faith, and through these scriptures, it recounts the power of miracles and histories revealed through their faith. By faith, for example, Enoch was taken away without seeing death. Through faith, Moses and the Israelites parted the Red Sea and experienced miracles. By faith, Joshua's army brought down the impenetrable fortified walls of Jericho. Faith empowered many to overcome evil forces, escape from the sword, and become strong even in weakness. The Bible consistently is filled with the emphasis of faith, and even Jesus, when addressing Jairus, was in despair and sorrow over his deceased daughter, told him not to be afraid, but to believe. All you have to do is believe, Jesus had conveyed to that person. Faith is what saves us. Through faith, we experience miracles, power, and glory. Faith is absolutely essential and important. It's something we must have, but not all faith are equal. We have types of faith. There are two types, to be exact. Genuine faith that brings salvation to our souls, and empty faith, or dead faith that provides no benefit and cannot save us, has no utility. Faith must be proven through actions. If we claim to believe, but you do not act upon it, that faith is empty. It provides no spiritual benefit, no utility, offers no salvation to you, and brings forth no miracles, and you can experience the power and the glory of God. Faith devoid of work is false faith, and it is dead. It might just be lifeless. You may assert to yourself that you believe in Jesus. I have read the Bible many times, and I am well versed in the Bible. I'm very conversant in it, and I am fifth multiple generational descendant of a Christian family. But without action, it's all fake. Without action, the belief is dead. It doesn't matter what generation of belief that you have inherited. It is dead faith, vain faith. Let us read verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? These words are very warm and cozy and very helpful words and loving words. But if you just say these words without actually helping them, it has no efficacy in helping them, does it? Words alone. Love without action is not true love and does not fulfill the hunger. It has no benefit to the hungry person. In that way, faith without action, there is no life. It is lifeless, hence cannot save you. It is a dead faith. Verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. Faith without action is a dead faith. It lacks faith and life. A faith that does not act, but only professes verbally, cannot save us. Noah, for instance, God had commanded him and warned him that there will be an impending great flood that will reset humanity. And to preserve life, to reset and to renew life, you must bear the ark. And Noah said unto him that, I believe in your word, and I shall do as you say. I believe in the great flood that will be imminent upon humanity. And I know that upon acting on your word, I will be saved. He had replied to God. And as he professed his belief, what if he had not acted upon the word and built the ark? What would have happened to humanity? And according to the word, if he had not listened to the words of God, he would have been destructed along with the non-believers. He had known it intellectually, and he had acted upon it. But what if he had listened to it, only have an intellectual understanding, and did not act upon it? What would have happened to him? He would not have been redeemed by God. Faith devoid of works is in vain. It is futile. It is dead faith, and it is a counterfeit faith. A true faith invariably is in conjunction with actions. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Amen. True faith validated by actions. That you may say to yourself that I believe in Jesus, I believe in the Bible, but without action, you just do lip service. That is like telling a person without clothes and who is hungry, not providing the food nor clothes. It's exactly like that. Words alone, you cannot do things to benefit the person that is hungry and without clothes. Without corresponding action and just words alone has no benefit, hence no salvation for you, has no efficacy to our faith. And also that faith is a faith that you only know intellectually. Knowing the Bible, knowing Jesus is precious knowledge. Yes, that is true, but has no benefit. It does not save us. For example, demon also has an intellectual understanding of Jesus. Demon believes in Jesus. He knows that Jesus exists. In verse 19, let us read together. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You see, like this, demon believed in Jesus too. We believe that Jesus is the preeminent redeemer of us and that he is the one and only that can save us. But everything else, all have been man-made. And regardless of how much you pray and assert yourself toward the false idols, it cannot redeem you in the way that Jesus can save you. It cannot help you in any way. They are all false idols. And we know that intellectually. And we know that Jesus is the only true living embodiment of God and his word. And that he is the one that was descended onto earth. And that on our behalf, he sacrificed himself and saved us. And that he is the one and only. And there's no other way that can save us. We have a good understanding of this, yes. However, upon believing in this facticity, we not only know this, but demon also knows this. Book of Mark, verse 21, starting therefrom. He goes to a synagogue, Jesus, and conveys God's words. They were different from the Philistines, and as he had great authority. And when he proclaimed the words before him, there were demons in his presence, but their identities could not be hidden, and they revealed themselves. And they said, upon seeing Jesus, that I know who you are, something along those lines, he says, that Jesus and calls him the Son of the Most High God, a demon-possessed man. Says this, we know who you are. We know you. We have a profound understanding of you, he says. What do they know? That he is the glorious God. Demons knows who God is and Jesus is conversant on the topic. Jesus arrives in the region of Gerasenes. There was a great rebellion against that. There was a young man who was demon-possessed. And upon knowing this fact, that demon-possessed man knew like a ghost that who he is and prostrates before Jesus and says what the demon has said leading up to this event. The Son of the Most High God, from a distance, ran toward Jesus and esteemed him as the Son of God, yells out. This was the demon that had said this. The Son of the Most High God. The demon also proclaimed this accurately, precisely, professed this fact. We are not the only ones who know this. The demons, like a demon that he knows this too. He understands the glorious, that he is the almost high, and that he is the Son of Man, and that he had descended upon earth to save us, and that he is the one and only Redeemer of humanity. And the demon also is possessed with this knowledge and was shuddering in fear and trembled before Jesus. Verse 19, the book of James tells us, it again emphasizes that demons believe and tremble. They believe and they tremble. They also have faith. But these demons, with their faith, did they receive redemption from Jesus? No. That did not happen. They had faith, but they were not redeemed. There is faith that cannot redeem you, you see. What is the faith that they had, the demons? They only knew intellectually. They only had a knowledge of it. But knowledge alone is lifeless. It cannot redeem you. It is a dead faith. When we speak of knowledge, scholarly verse people, and if you look at the book of Matthew, there were scholars that came to visit Jesus and follow the stars as a navigator to find Jesus. And upon receiving in Jerusalem, they went into the kingdom and saw Jesus. And King Herod and the people of Jerusalem were greatly disturbed. It threw them off their composure. There were a lot of issues there. And he became the Jewish king, and he summoned the chief priests and scribes to inquire if the prophecy and the birth of the Jesus king was written in the scriptures. And he became the king. He is the only king he had thought. And because of it, there was a great uproar. And he had inquired about the prophecies of the Old Testament and asked about Jesus, and the high priest doesn't know. But the person, the official, the scribe, a legalistic scholar who had traditional knowledge of the Bible, quickly says that there is indeed Old Testament. In the book of Micah 5:2, it states, the prophecy states that the Jewish king will be born in Bethlehem. He had said to the King Herod. He had conveyed this scripture. They were well versed in the Bible. They understood the prophecies of Jesus. Thus, this is why they had received Jesus. Or did they do this? They did not. Even they knew this, they did not seek Jesus, nor did they worship Jesus. They just had an intellectual understanding of him. They knew the Bible very well. They knew that he was prophesied by those scriptures and where he would be born. They knew those scriptures, but they did not believe in Jesus. They did not seek him, nor did they worship him. They had scholarly understanding of the Bible, but their intellectual understanding did not redeem them. The knowledge of Jesus, knowledge of Bible is critical. But if you do not enact upon the word, it cannot redeem you. There must be acts that corresponds with the teachings of the Bible. Book of James continually tells us that you must act upon the word. There was a Gentile, Rahab, through the instances of these two individuals, it tells us further. For example, Abraham, verse 20 and 21, let us be together. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Abraham, his moniker was father of faith. He's known as father of faith. It was not just professed with his lips, but he had corresponding action. God, when he had first convened Abraham, he was 75 years old. The Bible, leading up to introducing Abraham, it tells us and teaches us of the genealogies of it, who had begotten who, so on and so forth, and begotten who, so on and so forth. It continues to tell us of the genealogies of the individuals in the Bible and the families. But upon introducing Abraham, that genealogy does not continue. And God promises Abraham that you will be given a son. Abraham believed him, even though he was 75 years old, and his life of faith had begun at that time. But 10 years had passed, time had passed, much time had elapsed, but he did not have a son. He was 100 years old. And physically, he was infertile to have a son. Elisha died at that time. Isaac, according to the promise that God had made to Abraham, at the age of 100, he was given a son by God. Isaac was given to him at the age of 10, even though he was in his eye, would not have hurt him. That's how much he had loved him. And in that way, he was preciously upbringing, nurturing Isaac. But then what happens? As we all know, God tests Abraham's faith. Abraham, your beloved son, your only son, you love him, do you not? I want you to take Isaac to the Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. You are to sacrifice him by burning him in fire. That's why God had tested him, how he tested him. Abraham was profoundly baffled by this, had no understanding of the dictations. As without Isaac, there is no hope and joy in life. But it was God's command. It is his word. And since he entirely believed in his sovereignty, in the authority of God, he had fully heeded the word and acted upon the word. He took Isaac up to the Mount Moriah, and to do this, he had raised his hand with a sword in his hand. And right there and then, God intervenes and stops the movement of his arm and tells him, your faith is authentic. Now I know that your faith is true. And called him, you are righteous. God has said to Abraham, the salvation, it's not something that you can receive by your actions. How do you receive it? Only through faith. What kind of faith? What kind of faith can save you? Faith only in words? Only intellectually knowing it? Faith? No. Only through faith that is validated by your actions. In that way, only through that way you can receive salvation. True faith, it always accompanied by actions. It's in tandem with one another. It does not go without the other. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. There's no better way to validate your faith by following up on the action with your or belief with your actions. They're always in tandem with one another. Your actions must dovetail the faith, and only in that way you can be righteous and do right by God. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Something along the line, it is stated. What kind of faith? It's not just intellectual understanding of the word, but faith that is validated by actions. And through that way, he had received the righteousness title by God, Abraham. And we are also introduced to the prostitute Rahab. In the same way, it was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. Abraham was regarded in the Most High by the Israelites, the Jews. Abraham, Rahab, what was the occupation of Rahab? She was a prostitute. She was, by the Israelite standard, filthy, but she is titled as righteous. How? Through faith. How? Through her action, which dovetailed the faith. Israelites, they led a life in the wilderness for 40 years, and they finally arrived at the Canaan land. But upon arriving, they realized that they were not the first ones, but there were people that lived there on the land. And there was the castle, the wall of Jericho, and it was impenetrable, well fortified to prevent others from entering. But God had promised the Israelites that this land was yours. They thought that they could just march in, but it was something that you had to attain through believing, fighting, and being victorious. Who came into the gates of heaven? Those who believe, those who fight to believe, and those who become victorious from the belief are the ones who can enter the gates of heaven. Our spiritual life is a spiritual battle, our life of faith. We have to believe, act upon the belief, and become victorious with the belief. And in that way, you can be triumphant. And Joshua, to do this, he sends a spy for the reconnaissance. And the spies, they were reconnoitering the area, and they meet some people. And Rahab had heard about God and his commands. He knew that land would be given to the Israelites, and she had known this, and she believed in it. And from the belief, Rahab hides the spies that were sent by Joshua. And the day of destruction, through faith, there was a sign to convey that she is the devotee of God. And through that, she saved herself. She was spared by God. And therefrom, she had inherited the heavenly kingdom. And that name is recorded in the genealogy of Jesus. Bible recognizes the people that have true faith. People that are titled righteous by God are recorded in the Bible. And people that are righteous, they have faith that has corresponding actions. And in conclusion, verse 26, as the body was dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Faith is dead. And likewise, faith without action is lifeless. It cannot redeem you. It is dead faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. Before God, to go forth to God, you have to have faith and to be called righteous by God. And those who were called righteous, they were all believers of God. Jews, Gentiles, regardless of your ethnicity, your background, it does not matter. You are new become a new creature from the belief. Abraham, the father of faith, inherited the title righteousness, and Rahab too, through faith, the same inheritance was given to Rahab as well, that was given to Abraham. What is important is, what is the nature of your belief? That is what's important. Lip service belief, intellectual belief, aforementioned belief cannot save you. Only through actions that is validated by God can become the true faith and true belief. And through that, you can receive the true salvation. One who can make us wholesome and righteous, that is Jesus. And according to the word, as he has said to us, according to the word, he has sacrificed himself on the cross and he suffered on our behalf and he had cleansed and delivered us from the sins. And according to the word, he will come again. There will be a second coming. He had embodied the word and has shown us through his sacrifice. We say we believe, but without actions, that belief is a counterfeit, inauthentic faith. It is lifeless. It is dead faith. It cannot redeem you. We hear the word and we know the word. But as we have heard the word, even one verse, one small word or a verse, let us be enacted by the word and be dictated by the words and embody the word into actions. Let us pray.